Is this normal? Is it okay to grieve this way? Why does it feel like I keep getting the wind knocked out of me? Am I doing this wrong? What's the right way to grieve? Welcome to Grief is the New Normal. I'm Dr. Heather Taylor, a grief specialist and licensed psychologist, here to help change the conversation about grief and build community and connection while we all adjust to this new normal we are living in. This podcast is for anyone who is grieving or anyone supporting someone in a season of grief. I'm glad you're here. Hello, everyone, and welcome to our very first episode. I'm so excited. We have lots to cover today, and I thought I'd start us off with the first of a four-part series. We are going to talk through what it means to lean into loss, to name and normalize the lived grief experience. That's the next episode. Discuss the process of grief in part three, and tease apart the spectrum of grief in part four. And I am really eager to get started. So here we go. All right. So grief is a universal lived experience. We all have encountered it in some facet or other, and yet it remains this stigmatized or taboo subject that people avoid or feel hesitant to talk about because it's complicated. There are endless emotions, thoughts, behaviors, all related to grief. And there is this hesitancy about leaning into the pain related to the loss we're feeling. Now, when we think about grief, most people associate it with only death-related losses, right? Here at Grief is the New Normal, we know better. Grief encompasses both death and non-death-related losses. And again, while one might think this would help unify us under this shared grief umbrella, we have this habit of leaning away, avoiding, procrastinating. So today, we're going to start by exploring why leaning into grief or leaning into loss is essential for healing and how we can help normalize the myriad of emotions that accompany it to help us start taking steps towards others in grief rather than away. So let's start by acknowledging that grief is not a one-size-fits-all experience, right? There's no handbook, there's no roadmap for navigating the turbulent waters of sorrow or mourning. You know, each individual's grief experience, grief journey is as unique as their fingerprint, shaped by their personality, their beliefs, the developmental stage they're in when the loss happens, and their relationship to the person or the thing they've lost. And as a psychologist, I'm here to tell you that whatever you're feeling, whether it's anger, sadness, guilt, or despair, it's valid. William Warden talks about the tasks of mourning. After the first step of the task, the first one, which is accepting the reality of the loss, the second step is literally to embrace the pain of grief. Now, do we like experiencing pain? I mean, of course, there's the exceptions like tattoos or piercings or, you know, that good burn feeling after a solid workout. However, people tend to lean away from experiencing emotional pain or even doing things to prevent that internalization of pain. So we have to understand what our pain is in order to start moving through it. Now, I don't say move on. I said move through. There is a way to move through grief, through loss that honors your loved one, yourself, and who you are growing into being. So at this point, we are being curious about what it, I say that all the time with my clients. We're being curious about what it means to lean into that discomfort, that sadness, that uncertainty that comes with loss. Now, this may seem counterintuitive. Our society is in such a hurry for us to quote unquote get back to normal or quote unquote get over it, which are super terrible, by the way, and unhelpful attitudes, because there is no going back to who we were. We are forever changed by the losses we experience, whether it's a physical death of a person or even a pet, the loss of a relationship or friendship, loss of a job or a home. These all impact who we are now in this new normal. And it's important as a society to be better educated about these concepts so we aren't waiting for someone to, you know, quote unquote, snap back to who they quote unquote used to be, because that person doesn't exist anymore. They are forever changed. And expecting people to go back can lead to unmet expectations, disappointment, frustration, confusion, and really change a relationship's or really challenge a relationship's survival, right? Remembering that people change, grow, evolve is important, and we take these losses and integrate them into who we're going to be moving forward. So yes, there can even be grief about who I thought I would be, who my partner thought I would be. And now we have to grieve that because the trajectory has been altered. You know, experiencing a loss when you're engaged to someone and they'd always been presenting one way, right? And then this huge loss happens and it shifts who they are, their sense of being, sense of self, sense of attachment. And so having the expectation that they're still going to be who you thought they were isn't fair because they've had this major thing impact them. I talk about that a lot with my clients. So, you know, a visual that I find really helpful is ocean waves. So imagine yourself, you know, close your eyes, imagine yourself standing on a beach. And suddenly these rapid tidal waves start crashing into you on the shore. They were unexpected. They knocked the wind out of you, pelting into you over and over again. This happens for a while in early seasons of loss. The waves keep coming with force, with elevated emotional responses. So here's the secret. The waves never stop coming. I'm going to repeat that because that's really important. The waves never stop coming. The waves represent the attachment you had to that person or thing. However, over time, it's like you're able to take some steps backwards, right? You're able to go back up on shore a bit more. The waves still touch you. You feel their impact. And yet there's a softening to it. It's not as intense as in the beginning. And there can be longer stretches of time between the waves. And while they might be quieter in their delivery over time, there can be seasons where their acuity increases again. This can happen with, you know, compounding loss, which we'll get into in another episode. It's also important to note that learning how to lean into the loss, leaning into the waves as they come, helps build strength and resiliency. Clinically, this is called post-traumatic growth. And this strength helps us withstand the waves, so they start to knock the wind out of us less and less over time. We're able to do more adulting things we need to do without feeling like we're walking through sludge. You know that feeling when you're standing on a beach and the waves wash over your feet and you sink in the sand? It can take time and effort to get our feet unstuck and able to move again. So, I mean, another way of imagining that is almost like, so you've got these big waves crashing, right? And it's all in a line. So taking the two ends of that string of waves and pulling it, lengthening it. So the waves keep coming, but they're not, you know, they're not big, they're softer. I have a handout that's really helpful. So I'll make sure to upload that for people that are listening to this episode for kind of a little take-home resource. Now, with the waves visual, of course, there's exceptions. This is not an all-inclusive visual. And I still find that it can be helpful in validating someone's experience with grief and that stuckness and feeling like stuff just keeps coming and knocking the wind out of you. So all that, how do we lean into loss? How do we embrace the pain rather than pushing it away? Well, it starts with self-compassion. It starts with giving ourselves permission to grieve unapologetically and without judgment. It starts with surrounding ourselves with supportive friends, family, or even a therapist who can hold space for our pain and bear witness to our sorrow. And this is actually where I find grief support groups such a valuable tool. It's being in community with other people stuck in the waves. And you get the chance to share about your experience, your loss, your person, and how you are coping while hearing about how others are coping with their loss. So you're able to get ideas about things that might align with you or might feel good for you in this season of pain. I think it can be really powerful and validating to connect and build community around your unique loss experience with other people going through similar seasons. Another important factor is how do we care for ourselves while we're stuck in this, we'll call it the wave stage. And we can do that by practicing that self-compassion we talked about, seeking safe support people. So those people that, you know, you can just sit on a couch and watch a comfort show with, or, you know, that they're energy givers, not just takers. There's that mutual exchange. The ones that you know are going to show up for you, regardless if you've showered today or 7 days ago. Those safe support people who you can text in the middle of the night and just say, I am not okay. Taking time to reflect, meditate, have creative outlets. Granted, creative outlets are definitely impacted by where we're at in our grief process. So, you know, in those early weeks, months, like you can have a lot of brain fog. You can feel really stagnant and stuck and not able to tap into those creative outlets that you would typically be able to access, or even, you know, spending time in bigger social gatherings. Like our social battery is going to be running a little lower. We might not have the capacity that we used to in those early months of loss. And the last thing is like being able to find ways to honor the memory of our loved one, whether that's through starting new traditions, creating rituals, talking to them as though they're right next to you, you know, kind of whatever, again, feels in alignment with what's bringing you comfort in that moment. You know, this feels like a good space to land for this first episode to kind of start to wrap things up. So historically, grief has been associated with this big final goodbye, right? Closing that door. Well, in the last 10 to 15 years or so, discussions are shifting about how that's actually not helpful. Shocker, spoiler alert. Robert Niemeyer gave a training I attended like 10 years ago and discussed this concept of learning how to say hello again in a new way. And I love this idea. I think it's so beautiful. It honors the emotional attachment we feel to this person who's no longer physically here. It gives us permission to develop those rituals or habits that help us maintain a connection and honor the feelings we have about our person. We can do this through memorial jewelry, tattoos, holiday rituals like lighting a candle or setting out an empty chair, gathering on the anniversary of the loved one's passing. The opportunities to maintain these connections are endless. Like you really do have the ability to pick something that feels right for you and knowing that you can change that at any time based on your evolving needs, changing needs. On a personal note, so I had my own pretty significant loss back in 2009, which propelled me into this whole, you know, grief psychologist career trajectory. Well, that first anniversary of his passing, my immediate family, we stayed pretty closed off from everyone else around us. We, you know, chose to do something together that day. And honestly, it sucked. It was the worst. It was emotional and sad and super hard. And we felt so isolated. When we shared this a couple days later with some of our extended family, they shared about how they wished they'd been able to be there for us in our grief. So the next year, we invited them into that grief space with us. Was it uncomfortable? Yes. Was it vulnerable? Yes. Was it messy? Yes. We all went out for pizza as a big, messy, grieving family and just connected, just talked, just shared stories. And it was so much better not being alone in our grief. And now, every year since, so this past November was the 14th anniversary of their passing, we gathered to remember our person. We even did Zoom pizza parties during the pandemic years when it wasn't safe to gather in person. So I understand that not everyone has safe families or even family periods. So my encouragement, or I guess I hope what you would take away from this, is to lean into your safe people, your chosen families, and invite them into that grief space with you. You don't have to have answers or, you know, hide your grief away or report progress. Like leaning into our losses helps us process and adjust to the new normal we are living in. And I genuinely hope you're able to find creative ways to lean into these hard spaces, going at your own pace and figuring out what it means to be here. Thank you for joining me on this inaugural episode of Grief is the New Normal. Until next time, remember to lean into your grief, for it's through our deepest sorrows that we find the truest expressions of our humanity. I'll see you next time for part two, naming and normalizing loss and understanding common grief reactions. Remember to be kind to yourself today. Bye-bye.